B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Career long is 56. I remind you, though, he has had that issue on his plant leg. This would match his longest ever. And if he hits this one in the rain with a bad plant leg, it would be one amazing night.
From 56. On its way. It is off the goalpost. No good. You can hear the doink. Oh, man. Right down to the finish.
But I'll say this. Tom Brady's going to walk out of here with a victory. I am so impressed with what I saw out of the Patriots tonight, and in particular, Mac Jones. I thought Mac Jones went toe-to-toe with one of the greatest players in the history of the game. And this fan base is going to embrace what he did this evening. And they are going to be okay after tonight with the fact that they have to turn the page. It was a great performance by Mac Jones.
So is that true? Is that true, the performance of Mac Jones greater than anything else we saw last night? Is that how you feel about it? You're going to be okay? Are you okay in defeat? Are you okay with how that all played out, given the fact that your young quarterback played well? That's what Collinsworth said at the end of the game. That's the NBC call, and that's where we're going to start today on what's ostensibly a re-entry Monday, which is presented by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. But we're going to be almost all Patriots and Brady and that situation last night here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Felger in the A-hole chair, Maz alongside. Hi, Maz.
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Big Jim Murray in our update studio. Jim?
Mike, are you dry?
I am dry, yes. We've dried off after a very moist, moist evening last night for sure. So what's your takeaway? Is Mac Jones your lead takeaway, Maz?
He's part of it. I mean, he was terrific last night. I thought he was one of the best players on the field. You know, there were a handful of guys out there that were, you know, I thought really the best players. Fournette was good. Jones was good. Judon was good. And he was one of them. He outplayed Brady. If you go quarterback to quarterback, you still lost the game, though. So to me, there were sort of, you know, I almost separate those storylines entirely. To me, they're separate. Jones is the long-term storyline. And you said something in the week leading up to the game about how this is sort of the Patriots' farewell in the big time. You know, the spotlight, this might be it. If the kid plays like that, they'll be back. They'll be back.
Yeah, they should be.
Right? So, because I thought he was, you know, again, I liked the game plan. They trusted him for the most part, at least in terms of putting the game in his hands. You know, I wouldn't have minded.
They trusted him until they didn't, but keep going.
Okay, I was just about to say, I wouldn't have minded them at the end going for it and taking a shot there, but obviously they didn't do that. So, you know, they put the brakes on at the end of the game, but what did they run the ball? 8 times?
And that was 8 too many.
8 times they ran the ball. 8 times. And so, from that standpoint, I thought they took the right approach. And, you know, defensively, I thought they were more active in this game than they had been all year long. I don't want to say that they were great because they're still getting run over in the middle. They played a pretty good game, but they lost.
Yeah, look, you should feel excellent about Mac Jones. And I think the line between very good and great is razor thin. And there's a play that's being overlooked because the kid was very, very good in this game. But on one of their last drives there, when he throws across his body and Devin White almost intercepts it, it probably would have been a pick six. If that ends up happening, it's a different conversation and a different narrative about Mac Jones today. Overall, the moment was not too big for him. He was game. He was excellent. But I feel like the narrative has kind of gotten kind of out of control since last night. Like, this is great. Like, yeah, you have a quarterback. Feel positive about that. But he made some mistakes last night, and not just not trusting him on that 4th-and-3 play, which we'll get to. I don't think that they trusted him with deep passes. The deepest passes from the Patriots were by Jacoby Myers on trick plays. And I think you should have been taking shots deep if you wanted to really win this game to someone like Nelson Agholor, who torched this wretched Bucs secondary last year when he was Vegas. And it just didn't seem like they trusted Mac Jones to do that kind of thing in the offense last night.
Yeah, my lead takeaway is that you lost another winnable game. You lost another winnable game that was there for you to win. Yeah, Tom Brady was not good last night. He was not. And you hold him to 19 points, and you've got a real chance to win that ball game. And once again, you don't win that game. That's my lead takeaway. I want them winning games. I don't know why this thing is mutually exclusive, why you have this. We've been presented this either or. I feel like by the talking class, I don't know how to put this, by the commentators that say, well, what would you rather have, wins or the knowledge that you have the next young quarterback? And I don't know why that's either or. Why is that either or?
It shouldn't be either or. You should be able to get both because, again, the kid played well enough for you to win that game last night.
Why can't I have a good young quarterback and I'm actually hit on the draft pick and then actually win these games? It was another winnable game that was right there for them, and they didn't take advantage of it. And so that's what I'm stuck on.
The quarterback's not been the problem through four games.
And this is a thing that goes back. It's they have, since Thanksgiving of 2019, they have had 14 one-possession games. 14. They've won four of them. They're 4-10 in their last 14 one-possession games. And it's really sort of adding up. And where you've gotten your wins were in the second half of last year under Cam Newton when the season was already lost. And, like, I count them in that record, but really, really, these one-possession games are when you needed them. That is at the tail end of 2019 with Brady, in the first half of 2020 with Cam Newton, and now in the first half with Mac Jones, you're not winning these winnable games. And that's just adding up. And so that's my main takeaway, because I'm not interested in this either or. I'm not interested in being 5-12, but you have the next quarterback. Neat. I just lost a year in my life. That time is too precious, Maz. I'm not giving away these years.
Well, so look, again, I mean, this is why you almost have to separate the two in the long term. You feel good about it? Sure. Yeah, I like the kid. I mean, again, and Murray put it right. He didn't shrink in the moment. That was a tough spot. That was a tough spot for that kid. He didn't shrink in the moment. That said, you kind of had Tampa on the run. You got Brady on a bad night. You played good defense and confused him. I thought Brady was flummoxed.
People are overwritten. Did Mac Jones play well? Yes, obviously. Do I like him? Yes, obviously. But, there's a gap there between can the guy play and can the guy win? He hasn't shown me he can win. I know it's only four games, so I'm not like drawing the conclusion. But there's a long way between being able to manage a game and having a high completion percentage and then making the plays you need to make to win the ball game. And neither he nor the team, it's been a while. We're going on 2 years since they've done that on a consistent basis. So that's what I'm sort of stuck on. And Bill's decision-making when it came down to that. You said they trusted him. Yeah, with the pass attempts they did. I think it was 46 pass attempts. 42 attempts, 4 dropbacks, and he got sacked. So 46 compared to 8 handoffs or 8 running plays. There were only 6 snaps went to the running backs. 8 of those 8 running plays. One was a quarterback sneak or keeper, and the other was a end around a Aguilar or reverse Aguilar, whatever that was. So it was really only 6 handoffs to the running backs. So, like, in that regard, they trusted him. But okay, 4th-and-3 or a 56-yard field goal. They took it out of his hands. And I thought the one that was even worse was at the end of the second quarter. End of the second quarter, it's just north of the 2-minute warning. You have a 3rd-and-17, and you run this great double pass screen play back to Brandon Bolden on the far left side. He picks up 15 yards. Now you're 4th-and-2 on the Tampa Bay side of the field at the 2-minute warning. Up 7-3. It's like, come on. Yeah, the building just got up. You just brought everyone back into a big momentum play. You threw that double pass. It worked.
I couldn't believe this.
You got there to 4th-and-2 and on the plus side of the field. And it's like, yeah, it's a risk because if you miss it, you're giving Brady the ball there at midfield. But really, what's the diff? Because if you punt it away, Brady still, that's still enough time. Doesn't matter if he starts at his 45 or his 5. It turns out he started at about his 5 and still got into field goal range. And it's like, okay, well, there's your chance there to put. Now you're really putting it on the kid. Now you're really giving him a chance. You didn't. And you tightened up and you punted. And then at the end of the game, you tightened up and you kicked. And so did they really put it on his shoulders or not?
Well, no, but again, the thing at the end of the game, I sort of got the sense at some points there that Belichick was almost looking to protect him.
So, right. That's what I think, yeah.
And when I mean at the end of the game.
So Nick Folk lost you the game, not Mac Jones.
Exactly. In other words, you get to that 4th-and-3, and if you let Jones go for it, he doesn't get it. Well, then what happens? He walks off the field. He unsnaps his chin strap. He's walking on the sideline. His head is down. So what does Bill do? I'm going to pull him out of here now. I'm going to put Folk on the field. And if we miss this thing, everyone looks at the kicker and nobody remembers the quarterback.
So then what's that say about the kid? He's mentally weak. You don't trust him to bounce back even if he fails on fourth and three.
I mean,
it's not a good look.
I don't look at it that. I just think he's being really careful.
I think they're managing him, yes.
Yeah, they're being really careful. I mean, it's hard to look at Jones after last night and say he can't hack it.
I would push back on something you said about this game and the Patriots last night, though, Maz, and that's that the defense was great because the defense allowed Tampa to score on their last three possessions, and that's three losses on the Patriots, and three times the defense folded at the end. You know, like, they were good against Brady, but I think most of Brady's failures last night were on him himself. He was way too amped up, and that was evident from pretty much the first series.
I mean, I thought they had him confused. I thought he was confused. They changed it up a lot. And look, he was clearly hyped up. That was a factor in the game. The throws, he had overthrows, he had missed throws. Brady was off. I mean, he was off.
I mean,
definitely.
He was missing bunnies.
Yeah, there were throws that he makes automatic. Like, even ones where, you know, there were ones that Antonio Brown's going one way, the ball's 3 yards, 5 yards behind him, out, you know, out of bounds. And I know there was some wind there too, but whatever. When you add them all up, it wasn't the rain.
He wasn't good.
Mac Jones didn't have any trouble with the accuracy.
And you held him to 19 points. I'm sorry. Yes, I like the young quarterback. Well, of course. Yes. Duh. Yes, of course. I like the. Can I also win? Why can't I win too? Why can't I get. Why does it have to be we like the young quarterback, but you're 1-3? Why can't you like your young quarterback and be 2-2 or 3-1? Like that's still the part that I'm frustrated with. And I do think, you know, when I say this, remember, overrated doesn't mean suck, but I think you're overrating his performance a little bit in terms of winning plays. You know, his last two possessions, you get down there and you come up short. You're still coming up short in too many of these red zone spots. And the second to last drive where you got down there, as Murray said, was set up by a Jacoby Myers pass. And, you know, the last drive, your first big drive starter was a really shaky, lucky 20-yard pass interference on Hunter Henry going across the middle. Remember this one?
Oh, yeah.
I think they got it wrong. They called it on 33. It should have been on Devin White. I still don't think either of them really fouled him. And so that was your drive. So the drive before to go ahead, the big play was a double pass from Jacoby Myers. And then I think two plays later, Mac Jones almost had that interception, that horrible decision to throw across his body. That led to a field goal. And you kind of conceded that drive. The third down play was a screen that had no chance. And then the next drive got started with the pass interference penalty. And then you got there into position and came up short. And you got, you know, you had Jacoby Myers wide open on the third down. Ball got deflected. And it's like, okay, yes, the kids. Oh, God, I like them too. I like them. And I know now's not the time to do it, but I'm just telling you, I'd like to see winning plays now. You know, now you got to come for you really to be the guy. You've got to come through. Kirk Cousins gets you in position to win. Andy Dalton gets you in position to win. There's a lot of guys that get you in position to win. So many of those games come down to the last drive, the last 4 minute possession, whatever. And so are you going to start making those plays? Everyone wants to compare this kid to Brady in 01. In 01, Brady came through in those spots. So until Mac Jones starts to do it, I say keep it in your pants a little bit. And, I mean, that's just it. I'm just frustrated they lost. It's another winnable game they lost.
Okay, but is that about the kid or is that about the coaching?
The whole thing, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, to me, it's more about the coaching. They clearly have handcuffs on him, Mike. That thing at the end of the game, like that spot there, now all of a sudden you're okay with attempting a 56-yard field goal with an old kicker in the rain?
Hadn't made a 56-yarder in 11 years.
Yeah, once in his career he's made one.
And it was in Denver.
In Denver, which is like, you know, add 5 yards of distance or whatever. It's like, I didn't love it. But then again, I thought the kid got a little shaky down there. He was a little shaky down there in that area.
That pass across his body was
unbelievable.
What are you thinking?
That was unbelievable.
So, like, you know, obviously there's no moral victories on Felger and Maz. What were you expecting? 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Harris shifts to the right hip of Jones, who takes a shotgun snap, stands in, looks down the middle, throws it, caught by Henry at the two, fights away from a tackler, and runs to the end zone, and spikes it for a Patriots touchdown.
There's your tight end. It's about time. Four games in. What poise by the kid.
Eye formation. Johnson in front of Harris. Play fake. Throw to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Jonnu Smith. A beautiful fake from Jones to Harris. And a touchdown to tie it, pending the point after.
I know I said it 2 weeks ago, and even on the opening night. But I tell you what, you got a quarterback.
Yeah, they have a quarterback. Can I get him to make one or two more plays? I don't know. That's all. I just feel better saying that in victory than in defeat. Another winnable game. They can't close. I'm not blaming them necessarily. But he had the ball in his hands a couple times, fourth quarter, and come up short. He came up short. They come up short. And so, what can I tell you? To your calls. As promised, Tom and Grafton lead us off today. Tom and Grafton, you're up first. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, man? I just quit real quick. I'm like, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever, comes back to play. Can we take a minute? He walks out on the field. We barely let him get on the field, and we bring our team out. He breaks the record. We don't stop the game. And you idiots boo him when he comes out on the field for the first time? What are we doing?
I thought that was cute.
I like that.
The booing was actually cute.
You ingrates.
No, it was a one-off thing, Murray. He didn't get booed the rest of the game. And it was just sort of a one-off. And it was so obvious and glaring that I actually liked it. Like, the way you folks boo Vinatieri every time, I think is a disgrace. The first time for Brady, I thought was kind of funny. It wasn't what you think it was.
No, that was game on.
That was sort of, okay, game's on. Exactly.
Yeah, game on. That was game on. Here we go. Time to play. You know, yes, we appreciated you. Yes, we love you. Of course we do. How could we not? You know, the game started. Boo.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, that was game on. I had no problem with that at all.
Done with the caller. You people are ungrateful bastards.
If they did it all game, it'd be lame. They didn't. It was just that first time he ran on the field. I liked it. In terms of the game presentation for Brady, totally underwhelming. Very disappointing for me. Because I have no dog in the fight like some of you. You know, a lot of you showed up wanting to show up Belichick. A lot of you showed up wanting to show up Brady. I just wanted the show. You know, I wanted the show and the emotion and the moments. So I wanted it all. I wanted the Patriots to win, but I wanted Brady to have his moments. And I wanted all of it. And I think they totally, and it had to be intentional. I mean, there's no other conclusion to draw that they just downplayed the Brady moments. And we never really had one. I'm sorry, we didn't. You and I were doing the pre-game show, Maz. My favorite moment was Robert Kraft sitting there by himself at midfield with the boom mics and the cameras waiting for Brady to do his early pregame walk through the field, and Brady never showed up.
Never came out.
And then Robert had to go into the tunnel to find him to have the pregame thing. Like, that was the most telling. And then when Brady came out for the team warm-ups, I thought it was cool that he ran to the north end zone and did the let's go to the north end zone crowd, which I liked. And that, to me, was the closest we had to a moment. Brady never acknowledged the crowd, which I was hoping we'd have just a second of that, and we never did, and I think that was all by design. Brady had no interest in doing that, and the stadium production had no interest in giving him that time. I mean, the pregame video, like, there was no announcement of it, unless someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, from my memory, and I was waiting for it, I watched it, I was up in a box, so sometimes you don't get everything, but what I thought was going to happen is they were going to dim the lights, and there would be an announcement that would say, please turn your attention to the south end zone scoreboard for a tribute. And so we would all know it was coming. We could all stop what we were doing. The lights would go down. There would be an announcement. We'd sit and watch. And then Brady would come out. We'd have a moment with him. He'd acknowledge us. And then they'd
And that didn't happen. The lights were on. They just started to roll the video without announcement. I don't think, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember there being an announcement of a video. They just played the video, and then Brady ran out onto the field with the team. And there was a applause, but you wouldn't know whether we were applauding Brady or Ryan Jensen, who was running next to him. It's like, come on. You have a moment there?
Yeah, and look, the yardage thing got completely botched.
Oh,
too.
I still don't know what happened.
No, me neither. I that got completely, totally, 100% botched.
And then he boned the NFL and NBC because he and the Bucks and the Patriots are set ahead of the game. They don't want to have a big to-do about the yardage thing, the celebration. And then I think he knew that he got it. He purposely called that timeout, and then they come back from break, and Al and Chris Collinsworth are losing their minds about it because you know you have a producer yelling in their ears, we didn't get to do the whole big hullabaloo about the yardage thing. Like, oh, F off.
So we'll get to more of that later on coming up. But
I did like the stuff at the end of the game with Brady and his teammates and stuff like that. I thought that was cool because it was sincere and it was real. That stuff I like, but that's about the only stuff.
Okay, we'll give you much more on that coming up. Here's Nick in the car. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I was at the game last night, and at different points it just seemed like the officiating crew was kind of lost and kind of, just stalling a little bit. What did you guys think of the officiating last night?
I thought overall you got a lot of breaks. I thought this was another thing that makes me, more agitated that you didn't take advantage, because I thought...
Like that overturned clear fumble early by Jacoby Myers?
I mean, he fumbled.
That's a fumble.
Like, I mean, either way, that's a close call that, they called it a fumble on the field.
That was a fumble.
And after a review, they gave it back to you?
It was a fumble.
Like, that was a hell of a break for you there.
But you say the PI on Hunter Henry. I thought the fake hands to the face on the 44-yarder down the field to Antonio Brown, that was at the line for the Bucks. That was ticky-tack. Too much Bill Vinovich in that crew last night, especially in the second half.
Yeah, the officiating drove me crazy in the game, honestly. That PI, I thought, was horrendous. Horrendous to call that at that stage of the game. And again, it wasn't a penalty. It wasn't a penalty. I don't think it was even gray. It was absolutely not a penalty. Like, sometimes you say, 50-50. That was not PI. I thought they kind of caved to the pressure of the night on that one. I thought they gave into the pats. And so, look, the people in the stadium were happy about it, but that was a botched call.
Yeah, I thought you caught some breaks on the night from the officiating. And not that everything went your way. That fumbled punt and then the unsportsmanlike penalty on Matthew Slater. I guess that was the right call on him, but still, you don't see that called all the time. And was that a fumble or not? Like, that was a close thing that could have gone either way, and that one went against you. But I think by far more went in your direction than against you. I mean, to get a defensive pass interference penalty on N'Keal Harry, that's a gift from, because that fella is never open. Yeah, I mean, all he did was run down the field and run into Richard Sherman. That was a 3rd and 5, I think. That extended a possession. That was a big penalty.
Yeah.
To N'Keal Harry? Like, if Richard Sherman hadn't have done that, what chance in hell are they going to complete that ball? That's N'Keal Harry. He's not open. And you got a DPI out of it. So, like, I think there was quite a few of those throughout the course of the game.
And that ball wasn't even close, right?
Not close. Jim and Yarmouth, go.
Hi, guys. I just thought that the defense, all in all, played excellent. I was relieved because Bill Belichick, I have faith in him again. I still think he has his fastball. What do you think?
Okay. Did that restore some faith in Bill Belichick last night?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, again, I don't know if the defense played great, but I would say the game plan was good. And they were more active. They were more engaged. They still got run on in the middle.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, they got run on in there. And in fact, I think one of the keys to the game is that in the second half, Brady decided, I'm going to start handing it off. I mean, it was just in the first half, I think they had 9 rushes, Tampa Bay, 27 pass plays. I want to go back and look to see if I get those numbers right. I think I put those in the email. And then in the second half, they ran more than they passed. And I think Brady just came to the conclusion that they're going to give us the run. We're going to run. And then ultimately, I think that's what won Tampa the game.
All right, coming up next, how impressed should we be with the coaching on the New England Patriots last night? We'll do it right after Big Jim Murray's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mads.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mads on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Taylor to the right of Jones with his left foot forward. Extends the hands, takes the snap. Four-man rush. There's a screen to the right, caught by Taylor, and he lost the ball.
Oh my
he
God.
Was upended and lost the ball as he was crashing to the turf. The ball squirts along the far side. Sherman got there for the Bucks.
What a play. So how impressed should I be by the coaching of Bill Belichick? Like, I mean, I agree overall, from 10,000 feet, yeah, he had a good night. Was that you that sent an email or someone that, if we're just going Brady v. Belichick last night, you say, like, Bill had a better night.
Yeah, that was, I sent that. Yeah,
yeah, I think
in Brady versus Bill, on the field, Bill won. I think Bill, you know, again, I thought the game plan was good. They clearly had Brady flummoxed. And offensively, they didn't even mess with the interior of that defensive line with Tampa, and they, you know, they put the ball in Jones's hand for the most part. And so I thought that from that standpoint, the strategy was good. The game plan was good.
Yeah, and I think it's hard not to have that conclusion from 10,000 feet. But then when you dig in a little bit, J.J. Taylor, they're still fumbling the ball.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a hallmark of a poorly coached team.
Yep.
Okay? I like the defensive game plan, but then can they figure out how many guys are supposed to have on the field at any given time?
Unbelievable.
Okay. In the first half, there's a 3rd and 6. They have too many men on the field. Becomes a 3rd and 1 that Tampa easily picks up. You gave them a first down there, basically, for all intents and purposes. And then on the last Tampa drive of the game, you get a gift from Brady, who starts throwing it deep late. This is an aside. But, boy, did he take a lot of shots late that I thought were just unnecessary. The last one should have been completed. But just low percentage, chuck and duck, kind of those. I mean, we see Brady do it from time to time. Anyway, he gives you one of those. Clock is stopped, preserving you a timeout, and you still can't get the personnel right, and you have to burn another timeout with the clock stopped?
Correct.
What are we, the freaking Jets?
Yeah, so again, I separate the game plan from the implementation of some of the stuff that was going on. The other thing is, how many stupid mistakes are they still making? Isaiah Wynn jumped off a false start.
Okay, thank you. I was just going to mention this, another break you got from the officials on the last drive of the game. Wynn clearly flinched.
Yeah, for the second week in a row, David Andrews, the center, got the snap count wrong.
Okay, those were back-to-back plays on that last drive. Back-to-back plays. You did get the false start because Andrews held it and everyone jumped off. They called it again on poor Hunter Henry. But and then I think the very next play, Wynn jumped and they didn't call it.
Wynn even put his head down.
He was dejected. He knew he got nailed, and they didn't throw the flag. That was, I think, 2nd and 6. You picked up a first down to Bolden on a swing pass to the right. So instead of it being 2nd and 11, if I'm right, you got 1st and 10. Huge swing.
Yeah, massive. I mean, I can't believe they missed that one. I don't know how they missed it.
Okay, so you're
still making stupid mistakes,
stupid penalties. Turnovers, why don't you just pick a defensive coordinator? We heard this before, like Mayo is in charge of the personnel groupings, but Steve Belichick's in charge of the play calls. But Bill's on the headset all night last night, so he's running the show. So what's going on over there? Why don't you have a defensive coordinator and just have him do all that?
So I asked you this guy's the question in the email chain this morning. I noticed Belichick was wearing the headset more than usual last night, right? Like, I wasn't crazy thinking that, right?
No, I think he was way more demonstrative and involved than usual. Maybe we just got more sideline shots last night because NBC had so many freaking cameras there.
No, but they usually show him, and I know the talk has been, and Bedard's brought this up, that he's been intentionally less hands-on this season in terms of, like, in-game decision-making. This is why he has his kid there. This is why Mayo's there. So it felt like last night he seemed much more engaged in the sideline. Like, he really wanted that. And another thing that proved it to me is when they got the PI on Kyle Van Noy, he really lost his mind.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else on your staff is capable of having them call those kinds of defenses, if you follow me. In other words, I thought they mixed it up pretty good. And that felt like a Bill Belichick game plan to me. That's all I'm saying. So all of a sudden, we're getting a shot to Spicoli there on the sideline, his son. You know, like, he was getting a lot of love last night.
That felt planted.
Okay, oh, that was driving me crazy.
So I haven't gone back and watched the whole broadcast yet, but tell me, what did they say?
So just, there was a lot of Stephen Belichick shots on the sideline with the play sheet in front of him. And, you know, there was some commentary, but it was more the constant need to go over and show us. You know, it felt to me like it was a campaign to show that Steve Belichick was calling the defenses against Tom Brady, when I think what Steve was doing is what his father told him to do. So it drove me bananas.
The facial expressions, too?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, licking his nose or whatever he was doing with his tongue hanging out of his mouth.
Keep your... We were watching the box. The Wood was with me. I wasn't watching the TV. She would defer to the TV. She did turn to me once and say, why is he making these faces? I said, I don't know what you're talking, because I wasn't watching at the time, but now I'm seeing the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was driving me bananas. Right, so, I told you, he looked like Spicoli on the sideline last night.
So, look, from 10,000 feet, good plan. Brady clearly was. I think it was more Brady. He was just amped or something. The ball was coming out high and wide the entire game. So, I don't know what you did to make him so loose and wild. But fine, whatever. You held him to 19 points. And he wasn't himself, so I'll give you credit for it. But then can you get the right person? Like, it's either too many men or not enough men.
Correct.
Let's get the right number of men out there. And calling the timeout with the clock stopped, with a minute left when you need time to go back down the field on the other side, and you have to burn a timeout because you can't figure out who should be on the field.
Mickey Mouse.
That is Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse. And your team keeps jumping off sides, or the center keeps holding the ball, or something. You're lucky you didn't get even more calls. The wind should have been called on that final drive, for sure. You're putting the ball on the ground, still, fumbly, fumbly team. And so, I'll give you more breaks. The first punt return, Gunnar Olszewski bobbles this thing. Instead of going out of bounds at the half-yard line,
hit the pylon.
It nicks the pylon. So instead of starting at the half, you start at the 20-yard line. Like, I left that series of my notes at home, but, like, I think you had a series of breaks, whether they were calls or just the, and not that you got every single one. Like I told you, the fumbled punt return from Tampa and then the unsportsmanlike, like, Slater, like, that thing could have gone either way. But I feel like you got more of the breaks. But still not a dialed-in, well-coached team that I would say, you know, just in the moment. I mean, what was that punt return? You just start on your half-yard line there. It's like, so I don't know how much I still feel they're loose. They're a little loose on down-to-down, series-to-series. Certainly the right game plans last night. And I think, and you know, in that respect, you say Bill still has it. He got he must have had a good week and a good plan. But in terms of all them being dialed in on game day, I don't see it yet. I don't know. Do you? Do you folks out there? And the stuff with the defensive coordinator is just annoying. It's just annoying. You know, normally you don't want to give someone the title because you don't want to pay them. All right, but that's not the case because it's your kid. So you can pay them whatever you want when you get home. So do you want to give them the title? But you don't want the appearance of you giving your kid a job over someone else who's equally as qualified in Gerard Mayo. So are we tiptoeing around something there?
Oh, you got to go back and actually watch it, Mike, because Tony's right. It was a complete sell job on Steve Belichick last night. Time and again, they go to him and they're fawning all over him. When again, Belichick himself was more engaged on the sideline. It showed on the field. The Patriots played their most competitive game so far through 4 weeks. It's not a coincidence because Bill was more engaged, but still, they're trying to tell you, oh no, Steve Belichick is the one that's in charge of the defense here. Like, okay, we get it.
That was a Bill game plan.
Yeah.
That was a Bill game plan. Now, again, the other stuff, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. They were sloppy in a lot of places.
All right, that's promised. Back to your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jones screens it right to Jacoby Myers. In fact, it's a lateral. He's going to throw it back to Brandon Bolden to the left. And Bolden runs down the left side to the 50. Bolden to the 45. Bolden close to the first down marker for the Patriots. Shorted out of bounds by Whitfield. Right at the 42.5 of Tampa Bay. Mack moves under center. Aguilar motions into the backfield. He joins Harris there. Hand off to Harris. Pass. Tosses it back to Myers. He's going to look to throw it. Down the right side for Aguilar. Catch at the 20th stride. He's tackled by Sherman. First out of bounds at the 10-yard line. Razzle dazzle.
Yeah, I love the okey-doke.
So the two trick plays, I thought Josh had a nice night. McDaniels, those trick plays pop. They're well executed. Jacoby Myers throws a good ball.
He does, yeah, totally.
Really, that the one to Aguilar, I know he was open, but still. That was in stride, perfect spiral, perfect. You know, the bad news is they squandered both the opportunities. First one, the screen pass that was set up on 3rd and 17 was 4th and 2. Bill punted. And then the double pass, the two snaps later, Mac Jones almost throws a horrible interception, throwing across his body, and they kick a field goal. So they just they squandered those. All right, back to the calls here, as promised. Let's do Renee in Rosendale. Go ahead, Renee.
Hey, guys. Just want to ask, what was your take on the environment of the crowd? Like, I know there was so much buildup to the game, but then it just seemed like the feel of it, wasn't there the whole time. Ray's coming back. Just what was your take on that?
Okay. I want to do it next hour. I thought the crowd was terrific. I thought the crowd was great. But it wasn't the Brady thing. It wasn't for the Brady moments. But I thought it was a really good crowd for the night. And I'll explain further. But I want to get through this first. We'll do a Brady Belichick crowd thing starting at 3. Carlton in Tampa. Hi, Carlton.
Hey, guys. You know, Belichick lost 5 home games in a row his last year at Cleveland in 1995. Now the Patriots under Belichick have lost 3 home games in a row. Brady wasn't the quarterback either time, guys. And is the sun shining up there in Boston? Because it's shining down here in Tampa, guys.
Okay, I think people are actually, I don't know, you tell me. I hear moral victory all the time.
Well, it's because of Jones. It's because of Jones. So again, to me, they're almost totally separate storylines. And, you know, on the one hand, you look at it and say, does it feel like they have a quarterback? Yeah. And that's not a thing you can just brush off. That's obviously a significant development. But then within the context of the game, that game was winnable last night.
Oh, it's right there.
It was winnable.
Another one. 4-10 in their last 14 one-possession games, going back to Thanksgiving of 2019.
And he says the sun is shining down in Tampa. If you're Tom Brady today, do you feel satisfied? Do you feel good about that team going forward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just wanted the win, Murray.
He wants it over with. He got it over with. You just got home from the dentist, and you're done. Now he's done thinking about it, preparing for it. He got through the night. It's over. Oh, my God. I bet he's light as a feather today, Tom is.
I mean, you could tell at the end of the game when the kick hit the upright. He was elated.
Yes.
So, you know.
Definitely lighter in that post game. He seemed like a different guy.
Oh, he just wanted to win the game and get it over with. He did, and he wanted to win it. Had they lost, he'd have been pissed.
Tampa's a good team. Yeah, Tampa's a good team, and they're really
banged up in the secondary. Boy, are they banged up now.
It's so stupid. It was so perfect that they started that game by kicking the ball out of bounds.
Totally.
Dumb team.
Yeah, I'm not telling you that they're perfect. It's got a lot of talent, and they got the guy, and they'll be there at the end.
The Jets.
Aldo and Ludlow, you're up next. Go ahead, Aldo.
Hey, guys. Great takes, Carlton. I can't agree more, but why in the world is Belichick not allowing McDaniels to make that last possession of downs? Because you know damn well he didn't.
Well, that's not the OC's job. It's the head coach's job to say we go for it on fourth down or not. That's the head coach. It's the head coach's job when to call the timeout, when to go for it, even pass or run. Josh, we're going to run it here. That's fine for a head coach to do. It's not Josh's job. So it's Bill's job to say 4th and 3 or 56-yard field goal. 4th and 3, Josh, dial something up. That's how that goes. And then Josh dials something up.
Yeah, I think Bill was protecting the kid.
Me too.
Nick
Folk lost the game last night, not Mac Jones.
Exactly. That's the thing is he looked at that situation and he said, if we go for it here and the kid screws it up or he makes a mistake. And look, there were a couple of plays there late in the game. That throw that Murray keeps talking about going back across his body. That was horrendous. Horrendous. And so Bill probably said at that stage, I'm not going to let this kid lose the game for us. I'll take the shot with the kicker, and he'll take the heat if we lose. And I'll take the heat if we lose, but I'm not going to bury the kid.
That's it.
But I'll tell you what, had they gone for it, I think they'd have gotten it. They were getting 5-6 yards whenever pretty much they wanted it in the air. They were getting it, particularly late in the game.
Oh, I mean, the third down play, Myers would have gone down to the 10-yard line or something. There was no one near him, and it was a huge tip because that play was there. So, right, it was there most of the night. It was there most of the night, and I think they being Bill, tightened. They got a little tight there. They wanted to protect the kid. Brian and Quincy. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I think the refs gave it to us on a platter on the last drive, but I still like the idea to kick the field goal. You know, like those last throws looked pretty sketchy. And as a fan, I much rather would have lost by doinking one off of the post rather than, you know, missing a catch 5 yards out to get the first down.
Ah, so what you're saying is, Brian, you managed defeat.
Yes. Yeah, lay down your weapons.
You lay down your weapons.
It's a version of that anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think Bill wanted, if he was going to lose the game, he wanted to be with the kicker, not with the quarterback. That was sort of my assessment of it after the fact. At the time, I thought, Bill, go for it. What are you doing? What are you doing? This guy doesn't have any chance of making this kick. Folk got a hell of a lot closer than I thought he was going to get on that kick. I didn't think he had a prayer. And then he hit the upright. I went, you got to be kidding me. So I didn't think they had a shot. But in retrospect, he didn't want the kid to lose the game. He wanted the kid to walk off the field and not feel the burden of losing that game. And so he put it on his kicker.
Mission accomplished. You're 1-3.
Oh, and by the way, the decision to kick just quickly.
Yeah.
Here's why it was stupid. Let's say he made the kick.
Oh, yeah. There's still a minute left and Brady's got 2 timeouts.
Exactly. What do you think's going to happen there? So if Bill's trying to win the game, he doesn't let Brady get that ball back. No way. Not in a million years. He goes for it. He kills the clock, and then he attempts the field goal. Like he left Brady with time. He was clearly just trying to avoid Jones losing the game.
Tony and Stoneham, you're up next. Hi, Tony.
Tony, Maz, you just stole my thunder, because I'll tell you, I saw the game. I saw that Belichick beat Brady last night. Brady looked terrible, and you're absolutely right. If he makes the field goal, given Brady 1 minute to go in the game, there's no way he doesn't move that team down the field with the weapons that he had, whatever, and probably wins the game by a field goal. But overall, Belichick beat Brady last night. He made him look terrible. That kid Jones, unbelievable. He's had 3 games.
Unbelievable.
Where he's way over 70% completion.
So what? He was very good, not great.
Unbelievable?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
He's 1-3.
Yeah, right. People are going too far with
unbelievable?
Yeah, Bill beat Brady last night, except he didn't.
I mean, Mac Jones has been very good given his age and experience level. Given his age and experience level. He's 1-3. And he's had chances to win these games. And he and the rest of the team haven't. So I'm just not going to give him the unbelievable label until he starts winning.
Yeah, and they've gotten to 20 points once, and it was against the Jets.
Thank you. There's that, too.
So, like, they've been under 23 times now, including the Miami game, and that one looks worse and worse because the Dolphins blow.
Chuck in Ohio, what do you got, Chuck?
Yeah, guys, as far as the Belichick beating Brady, I'm sorry. I think Brady started out shaky, but it was his receivers that beat him. I mean, how many nice passes did he throw? The one to Evans over the middle of the post, that would have been a touchdown. The one to Antonio Brown, that was a touchdown. The one Brady dropped over the middle. I mean, Brady's receivers let him down. And in spite of that, his degree of difficulty throws were way higher than Mac Jones.
Oh, that's true.
They were still all underneath throws. They were all underneath throws.
Not all, but much safer throws for Mac Jones, clearly.
It wasn't just his wide receivers. Brady was real shaky for most of that game. Now, those two deep shots he took down the field on second and third down before the last field goal, that was when I was like, what are you doing, dude? You want to blow them out that bad that you keep doing this? And Antonio Brown should have had that second one where, you know, he fell on his chest in the end zone. But, I don't know, pick up the 7 or 8 yards or whatever, is a 6 yards, so you can get the first down and have an easier field goal attempt.
They were clearly picking on Jones, right? He was hobbling at that stage. He'd come out of the game and then got back on the field. So Brady saw it. This is the time. I got to go for the end zone. And I don't know if I like it, but I think that was his thinking. And Brown should have had the second one. But that said, I think Brady was out of sorts.
Yep, me too.
He was out of sorts right out of the gate. One of the first throws went sailing. And so, you know, and they kept talking about the rain. you know, and the ball slipping out of Brady's hands, and maybe that's what it was. How come Mac Jones wasn't missing throws like that then?
Well, to the caller's point, I think there were far more short and intermediate stuff from Mac Jones and Tom Brady.
Yeah, but again, why is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong.
Like, you know, I sort of look at it and say the Patriots had a better game plan. They executed it better.
Damn straight. Yeah, I know. I think Brady out of sorts. I think you said it. Absolutely. And his decision-making wasn't great. Not that he put the ball in harm's way. I just think he had a lot of low-percentage throws that really weren't. And then the high-percentage throws, he wasn't money in the bank. There was a sequence right before halftime, I want to say, going into the north end. Yeah, right before halftime. And he tried to hit Antonio Brown twice on little outs to the right by the stakes. But it was like bread and butter automatic throws for Tom Brady. And he was high and wide on both of them. Brown might have been able to have them, but whatever. The Pats were giving them to him. And he went there twice, back-to-back plays, and was high and wide both throws. It's like Brady usually does that in his sleep.
There were a lot of those, too. I mean, I felt like there were a bunch of those. And Mike Evans, there were a couple that went through his hands. He's soft. He's always been soft. I thought, for the most part, Jackson did a pretty good job on him.
Okay, let's get to the sideshow. Let's get to Brady, Belichick, pregame, postgame, in-game presentation, stadium atmosphere, all that stuff. We'll do that after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.